Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Podcast with me, Carly. Hope you are all well, witches. To kick things off today, we have our book review, and we have a novella called The Hedge Witch by Carrie Thomas. You may remember I previously reviewed her book Threadneedle. This book actually takes place before the events of that book. Here is the book's blurb. Rowan has been sent to visit her eccentric aunt, Winnie the Hedge Witch, in the wild Welsh countryside for the entirety of the summer holidays. An opportunity her mother believes for Rowan to hone her skills in hedgecraft, get back to nature, and possibly make some friends. However, mysterious events around the town are causing panic in the secret magical community, and Cowans, non-magical folk, are starting to take notice. Can Rowan hone her hedgecraft, befriend the local witches, and solve the riddle of the mysterious goings on? Or is magic about to be revealed to the world, or at least Wales? I know you shouldn't judge a book by its cover, but this book's cover is beautiful. It is so tactile. It has a cauldron, flowers, and a moon on it in beautiful golds, green, and silver. And it just makes you want to run your hands over the cover as it looks like raised needlework. I also love the tiny illustrations at the beginning of each chapter. And I am a sucker for a book with world building and a map, of which there is one at the beginning of this book, along with this little poem. I call to the watchtowers of the East, to the goddess of air and wind, wielding the wand of old, to the leaves in the sky, to the birds flying high, to the scents of the flowers, to limitless powers, to the wisest of minds, and the freest of souls. Rise now and let your story go. Our main character is actually called Sorbus, the Latin name for Rowan, which her aunt initially calls her when she arrives. The opening scene, we see Rowan en route to her aunt's house by train, and it did give me slight Harry Potter feels, although I don't think that's what the author set out to do. On that similar note, I think this is a book that can be enjoyed as a YA, like young adult book, and by adults, akin to Harry Potter. There were a couple of jokes in the book, however, that would rule out younger teens or children to read it. It is a book from a teenager's perspective, so there is some angst over boys being popular, being accepted, but that's fairly minimally referenced, or I think I would have put the book down as it just wouldn't have resonated with me. This book is funny. It takes a lot to get me to giggle at books, but there were many witty one-liners that had me chuckling. One part had me giggling in bed for a little while. It was one of those ones where you had to be there to get the joke, so I didn't think reading it out would quite work. I laughed for a good while. You know when you are wobbling with giggling and you just can't stop. I love the day-to-day activities in this book with Rowan and her aunt and the hedge witchery. That is what I enjoyed this book for, more so than the storyline. sweet, innocent interactions where very little happens, but it's beautifully laid out. You can tell the author took a lot of time to research herbs. There is another scene where Rowan visits a moon garden at night, and it's so beautifully described. It is like being there. My only criticism of this book, and I think this is as a result of being spoiled with so many other great books that I've read, I just felt there was something missing in my connection with the characters. I know I say this often, but sometimes you can connect to a character so deeply in a book and it changes the whole experience. Some examples of that for me would probably be found in books such as Wayward, Winterwood, The Secret History of Witches, The Black Witch, and After the Forest, all we have reviewed on the podcast. The best example of characters for me is in the book My Best Friend's Exorcism, in my humble opinion. All the books I mentioned, I've read a good while ago, and after reading them, I'm still able to remember defining points of a protagonist's character. Grady Hendrix, who wrote My Best Friend's Exorcism, he does this thing with all the characters in books that I have read of his. He really lays out not only the protagonist's appearance and character in depth, but also the supporting characters too. To summarise, The Hedge Witch is a lovely little witchy read, especially for green or hedge witches, perhaps ideal to read together with a witchy teen, and of course if you enjoyed Fred Needle. Carrie Thomas actually has her follow-up book called Shadow Stitch coming out in June. Not promoting this by any means, just excited for it to come out. My library apparently has a copy of that coming in, so you may wish to check with your own. I already own Fred Needle, and the cover for the new book is so beautiful, I might have to buy it. My tattooist recently told me about the term book dragon, someone who has to own all the books, even if they haven't had a chance to get round to reading them all. That is definitely me. Our topic for today's episode is inspired by another book we have reviewed on the podcast previously, Emily Wilde's Encyclopedia of Fairies by Heather Fawcett. I am currently reading the follow-up, Emily Wilde's Map of the Otherlands, so we'll let you know about that book on a forthcoming episode. My thoughts were that I would have a go at doing what Emily Wilde does in her books of researching the Fae. Sadly, not out in the field, travelling and seeing them in person, but actually going down the rabbit hole to look at all the research I could piece together and present. Whenever I buy books on the Fae, it is always fairly minimal what the book outlines in regards to each form of the Fae. I decided to put together some grimoire sheets for my witches in the Witches Institute on Patreon to share all this information, and I decided to make it a bit of a project of mine going forward. So today we are going to be looking at pixies, which have always been close to my heart from my time in Cornwall, one of the areas where they are said to inhabit. I actually discovered in my research a book that was written by Anna Elizabeth Bray called Traditions, Legends, Superstitions and Sketches of Devonshire on the Borders of the Tamar and the Tavi. Bray was one of the first authors to convert lore of pixies from an oral tradition to writing. She is also the author of the book A Peep at the Pixies, and her writing was published around the mid-1800s. I can't help but wonder if this writer maybe inspired the character of Emily Wilde's for Heather Fawcett's books. There is a PDF online for the book I'm going to read this segment from, which I will link in the show notes if you would like to read it. It's written in letter format with Bray documenting her musing and the folklore she picks up on her travels. I particularly loved this section of the book and thought you might too. My letter has extended to such a length that I must forbear to add more, reserving for some future opportunity what I may have to say, not only about our Dartmoor minerals, but also concerning certain vestiges of ancient customs, still found to linger, though in decay, amongst the peasantry of the moor. And though, last not least, a word or two respecting the life and adventures of those merry little pixies and fays, which, though never seen, are here still averred to have a local habitation as well as a name, and to do all those various petty acts of mischief, which in a family or amongst domestics in other counties have, whenever inquiry is made respecting them, nobody for their author. Not so is it in Devon. Our somebody is never wanting. And as it is a being who can slip through a keyhole, sail on a moonbeam, and quite independent of all locks and bolts, enter closets and cupboards at will, we are never at a loss to hear who it is that pilfers sweetmeats or cracks cups and saucers to the annoyance of staid old housekeepers who may think that both should be held sacred, and that teacups, like hearts, were never made to be broken. Oh my goodness, that is so sweet. Sorry, that just got me so much. I agree. Teacups like hearts were never made to be broken. Adieu, my dear sir, and believe me, ever most respectfully and sincerely yours, A. E. Bray. Join me after the break for our first episode of the Witches Encyclopedia of Fairies, where we will meet the Pixies. Pixies, variations of pixie, the colpexy, dusters, grigs, heather pixies, pesh, peshies, pexy, picker, pickers, pigsies, pisgy, piskies, pisky pow, pakai, puckies, urchins. Pixies as astral plane beings from the fairy faith in Celtic countries by W.Y. Evans Wentz, 1911. The pixies and fairies are little beings in the human form existing on the astral plane who may be in the process of evolution. And as such, I believe people have seen them. The astral plane is not known to us now, because our psychic faculty of perception has faded out by non-use, and this condition has been brought about by an almost exclusive development of the physical brain. But it is likely that the psychic faculty will develop again in its term. The pixie is a form of fae predominantly found in folklore of southwest England. They are said to be anywhere from small enough to fit under a toadstool to 4 inches tall or knee high. Earlier accounts of pixies describe them as wingless. Later accounts depict them with gossamer-type wings. They are said to be human-like in the face, with pointy ears, upturned eyes, skin that has either a green or bluish hue, or a skin tone like owls. They are often depicted with reddish hair. They are said to wear leaves or rags in a shade of green, finished off with a pointed hat. Cornish piskies can assume human size, and throughout Cornish legends, they can grow to gigantic stature. Generally, they appear innocent and trustworthy, yet the piskies are mischievous. Their favourite pastime is to play pranks on humans. They are notorious for leading solitary travellers astray on their journey. This is where the terms pixie-led and pixelated originate from. Pixies were said to hold the ability to cause a human to get lost on a road they had walked many times. Aside from this, pixies are said to possess an ability to create bewilderment and confusion in humans at will. It was also documented the pixies could perform a will-o'-the-wisp type of magic, resulting in travellers being pixie-led. To avoid this, it was said you should turn a piece of your clothing inside out. This is from The Evil Eye by Frederick Thomas Elworthy, 1895. In 1890, some men were ripping bark in a wood near Torrington. One of them declared that on stooping down to pick up a tool, a strange feeling came over him. And while totally unable to raise himself, he heard peals of discordant laughter all around. It flashed upon him that he was pixie-led, but his presence of mind forsook him, and he was unable to turn his coat inside out, a sure talisman against the spells of pixies. As the man did not return at the usual time, his wife, hearing from the others that he left work when they did, at 10 o'clock went to look for him. Arriving at the place where they had been working, she met her husband dripping wet. "Where have you been?" she said. "I've been pixie-led," says he. And then he told her how the pixies had held him fast for 5 hours, and that at last he crawled away, not knowing where he was going, and tumbling head over heels into the stream. As soon as he could get up, he knew where he was and made his way homewards. "You girt fuel, why didn't he turn your pockets inside out?" was all the comfort he got from his better half. "Then you would have been able to come away to once." The man firmly believes in pixies because a tailor named Short was pixie-led in the same wood some years ago. It is known that he was sober. No intoxicants had been tasted for the day by either of the party. This is from The Fairy Faith in Celtic Countries by W.Y. Evans Wentz, 1911. A man named Bottrell, who lived near St. Teith, was pisky-led at West Down, and when he turned his pockets inside out, he heard the piskies going away laughing. "Often my grandmother used to say when I got home after dark, 'You'd better mind or the piskies will carry you away.'" Again, this is from The Fairy Faith in Celtic Countries by W.Y. Evans Wentz. To Mr. Thomas G. Jago of Marazium, with a memory extending backwards more than 70 years, he being 80 years old, I am indebted for this statement about the Piskie Creed in that locality. I imagine that 150 years ago, the belief in piskies and spirits was general. In my boyhood days, piskies were often called the mites, or little people. They were regarded as little spirits. The word piskies is the old Cornish brogue for pixies. In certain grass fields, mushrooms growing in a circle might be seen of a morning, and the old folks pointing to the mushrooms would say to the children, "Oh, the piskies have been dancing there last night." This is from Popular Romances of the West of England, collected and edited by Robert Hunt, 1903. There is a celebrated piskie haunt at Costellus in Cornwall, says Mrs. Bray, where they have been sitting in a ring, the men smoking after the most approved fashion of the Dutch burgomaster, and the women spinning, perhaps in emulation of the frugal vrouw. I never heard of this place. Like the rest of the good people, Piskies are fond of music, and the sound of their harp and pipe and symphony is occasionally heard at nightfall. It is said that a man once passing one of the Pisky rings and hearing them dancing and singing within it threw a large stone into the midst of the circle. When the music at once ceased and a dreadful shriek arose. The appearance of the Piskies of Dartmoor is said to resemble that of a bale or bundle of rags. In this shape, they decoy children to their unreal pleasure. A woman on the northern borders of the moor was returning home late on a dark evening, accompanied by two children and carrying a third in her arms, when on arriving at her own door, she found one missing. Her neighbours with lanterns immediately set out in quest of the lost child, whom they found sitting under a large oak tree, well known to be a favourite haunt of the pixies. He declared that he had been led away by two large bundles of rags, which had remained with him until the lights appeared, when they immediately vanished. It is argued that accounts of pixies stealing children or temporarily leading travellers astray originates from fairy mythology and not that of pixies. Thomas Keatley wrote in 1850 that much of Devon pixie mythology originated from fairy myth. Other accounts in folklore and fiction see pixies ill-clothed or naked. It was said those with the fairy sight may see them appear in lordly splendour. William Crossing wrote in 1890 of pixies' preference for bits of finery. Indeed, a sort of weakness for finery exists among them, and a piece of ribbon appears to be highly prized by them. Pixies are said to love mushrooms, and in addition to creating fairy circles where they dance, they will plant mushrooms that will often grow huge overnight. Should a human damage or remove their mushrooms, they will likely be harmed by the pixies. Some lore sees pixies living within the mushrooms. Other tales are of pixies living in special fairy trees, often thorn trees, that are guarded by pixies who reside in mushrooms at the tree's base. Around the 1800s, much literature was released on pixies. Anna Eliza Bray's A Peek at the Pixies was published in 1854, where she outlined a historical viewpoint on beliefs and perspectives of the pixies at the time. She wrote of them enjoying the music of grasshoppers, frogs, and crickets, and that dancing was their primary form of enjoyment and entertainment. During their revelry and in the safety of their fairy circle, it is said on moonlit nights, the pixie king would emerge and give his subjects his knightly charges. The queen of the Cornish pixies is Joan of Wad, Wad meaning torch, who is said to bless people with good luck. Pixie mythology is believed to predate Christianity. Romano-British hooded spirits, genus Cucullati, are a possible ancient Celtic forebear. Such dwarfish sprites wore traditional hooded cloaks associated with the British and concealed phallic daggers. During Christian times, the pixies were said to be the souls of children that died unbaptized, a concept similar to limbo. That following the child's death, their clothing would be placed in a clay funeral pot and their appearance would change to that of a pixie. Another legend claims the pixies to be druids who resisted Christianity and were subsequently sentenced by God to grow smaller and smaller until they accepted the new religion. Other myths state that pixies were not good enough for heaven, yet not bad enough for hell, so were forced to remain on the earthly plane forever. A concept of the Victorian era was that pixies were a folk memory of the Pictish people, which was later disproven and viewed as Norse propaganda against the Picts in academia. This suggestion is still present in some contemporary writing, however, there is no proven connection. Belief in the pixie overall harked back to the Celtic or pre-Celtic belief in spirits, particularly little spirits, both good and bad, who could help or hinder mankind. Some considered them creatures of the spiritual realm, not possessing a physical form, but able to appear on occasion and interact with objects and physical creatures of our world. They are said to appear predominantly at night, connecting with their supernatural associations. Much of their behaviour mirrors that of the poltergeist. They are said to enjoy rapping on windows and walls, throwing small stones and blowing out candles. Other signs of pixies being present are things going missing and finding random coins, pins and buttons. Some rural families left out small gifts for the pixies as a means to placate them in the form of bowls of food and saucers of milk. They considered this a mark of respect and attention, and in return, it is said, the pixies would sometimes help the family by tidying the house during the night. There are many accounts of the pixies helping women with chores. The pixies would often bring at random shiny objects in exchange for water and coins. Should the woman fail to leave an offering, she would lose their favour and be punished. Some methods of punishment came in the form of toothache, destroying or stealing their possessions, causing them limps and permanent discoloration to the face. This is from The Fairy Faith in Celtic Countries by W.Y. Evans Wentz, 1911. The piskies are said to be very small. You could never see them by day. I used to hear my grandmother, who has been dead 50 years, say that the piskies used to hold a fair in the fields near Briage and that people saw them there dancing. I also remember her saying that it was customary to set out food for the piskies at night. My grandmother's great belief was in piskies and in spirits, and she considered piskies spirits. She used to tell so many stories about spirits of the dead coming back and such things that I would be afraid to go to bed. In general appearance, the fairies were much the same as pixies. They were small men and women, much smaller than dwarfs. The men were swarthy in complexion, and the women had a clear complexion of a peach-like bloom. None ever appeared to be more than 25 to 30 years old. I have heard my nurse say that she could see scores of them whenever she picked a four-leaf clover and put it in the wisp of straw which she carried on her head as a cushion for the bucket of milk. Her theory was that the richness of the milk was what attracted them. Pixies, like fairies, very much enjoyed milk, and people of miserly nature used to put salt around a cow to keep the pixies away. And then the pixies would lead such mean people astray the very first opportunity that came. According to some country people, the pixies have been seen in the daytime, but usually they are only seen at night. Pixies flourish amongst the flowers, and in turn, the flowers flourish around the pixies. Pixies are said to have a fondness for tulips, cannas, and other bulb flowers. They supposedly encourage the growth of these plants wherever they are found. Fun overall is the pixies' priority, which they can find in playing games and riddles. They are said to be able to grant wishes, yet this often doesn't result in the outcome wanted and gives pixies much hilarity. They are good at creating glamours and as a group can create illusions so strong that even the fae cannot see through them. Some pixies may even perform a glamour as a favour. They can change size and appearance at will like other fae, however it takes a lot of magic from them. They are said to be able to become invisible and shapeshift into animals or objects associated with all the four elements. And they have the ability to control or manipulate these elements too. They can teleport or move rapidly from one place to another. Also control the minds of humans to ensure they do their bidding. Some myths see the pixies able to cure illnesses and heal wounds. The pixies are said to possess less magical abilities than the fairies do. There are many different ideas on the pixies' preferred home. They may inhabit a number of environments, including woods, meadows, and bodies of water. Some accounts claim the pixies reside in trees, including fruit trees and trees that have thorns, generally on the moorlands of Cornwall and Devon, and to a lesser extent, Sussex, Wiltshire, and Hampshire. They are said to be found inhabiting ancient underground sites such as circles, barrows, dolmens, ring forts, and manias. Dolmens are single chamber megalithic tombs that mostly date from the late Neolithic period, 4000 to 3000 BC, and were sometimes covered with earth or smaller stones to form a tumulus or burial mound. A group of rocks in Chalcombe, Devon were named Pixie Rocks after the pixies said to dwell there. At Trevose Head, Cornwall, it was said that 600 pixies gathered to laugh and dance in a circle until a pixie named Omphra lost his laugh. After searching amongst the barrows of the ancient kings of Cornwall on St Briok Downs, Omphra waded through the bottomless Dosmary Pool on Bodmin Moor until his laugh was restored by King Arthur, who was in the form of a chaff, a bird of the Corvidae family. Had to work on the pronunciation for that one, so it didn't sound like King Arthur was in the form of a chaff. Pixies are said to often be in conflict with the fairies over land ownership, and each group can often claim ownership of certain natural areas. Pixies are said to be more solitary than fairies, keeping themselves to themselves, whereas other fairies might be more inclined to interact with other fae and even humans. Pixies are said to fiercely avoid people and larger animals, especially crows, and prefer to create a secluded environment for themselves. Pixies are thought to live in groups and have social structures, mirroring that of royalty. They are thought to like to travel together by night. Another favourite pastime of theirs is stealing and riding horses by night, returning them at dawn with their manes tangled. Other pixie likes are for music, especially from woodwind instruments, shallow water in bird baths, or with coins in it, pins, buttons, and gardens at night. They are said to dislike having their good or bad deeds discussed. They can be driven away by the sound of bells. Salt is said to keep them away, and iron is said to be a ward against them that can even burn them. The first writings on pixies, they were not always considered fae. A strong belief in the existence of pixies has spanned for many centuries and still does for many in Britain. They were first described in Anna Eliza Bray's work, yet their stories have been passed down through oral tradition for hundreds of years. This is from The Fairy Faith in Celtic Countries by W.Y. Evans-Wentz. We've referenced this book a lot. The Pisk is thought of as little people who appear on moonlit nights are still somewhat believed in here. If interfered with too much, they are said to exhibit almost fiendish powers. In a certain sense, they are considered spiritual, but in another sense, they are much materialised in the conceptions of the people. Generally speaking, the belief in them has almost died out within the last 50 years. That book was published in 1911. It is my point of view that there is a basis of truth in the folklore, with its remnants of occult learning, magic, charms, and the like. Folklore seems to be the remains of forgotten psychical facts rather than history, as it is often called. By the early 19th century, their contact with humans had diminished, This is from the book Cornwall by Samuel Drew. The age of pixies like that of chivalry is gone. There is perhaps at present hardly a house they are reputed to visit. Even the fields and lanes which they formerly frequented seem to be nearly forsaken. Their music is rarely heard. Pixies are said to hold energies of youth, creativity, communication, intuition, inspiration, intellect, tranquility, and travel. Signs they are near are said to be the chatter of leaves, swaying of flowers, the bees buzzing, a sensed change in the weather, which I'm sure many of us can feel at the moment, an unexpected breeze, a melody from bell-shaped flowers, and movement in stillness. I love this account. So during the construction of Hinkley Point Nuclear Power Station, anything that went wrong was blamed on the pixies. The site is built near Wickbarrow, an Iron Age burial mound called Pixies Mound by the locals. Pixie Day is an old tradition which takes place annually in June at the East Devon town of Ottery St Mary. The day commemorates a legend of pixies being banished from the town to local caves known as the Pixies Parlour. The Pixie Day legend originates from the early days of Christianity when a local bishop decided to build a church in Ottery St Mary, and commissioned a set of bells or bell ringers to come from Wales, of whom were escorted by monks on their journey. The pixies were worried as they knew that once the bells were installed, it would be the death knell of their rule over the land. They cast a spell over the monks to redirect them from the road to Ottery to the road leading them to the cliff's edge at Sidmouth. Just as the monks were about to fall over the cliff, one of the monks stubbed his toe on a rock and said, "God bless my soul," breaking the spell. The bells were then brought to Ottery and installed. However, the pixie's spell was not completely broken. Each year on a day in June, the pixies come out and capture the town's bell ringers, later imprisoning them in Pixies Parlour to be rescued by the vicar of Ottery St Mary. This legend is reenacted each year by the Cub and Brownie groups of Ottery St Mary, with a specially constructed Pixies Parlour in the town square. The original Pixies Parlour can be found along the banks of the River Otter.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This is from the website terrywindling.com, which I will link in the show notes. Devon, even till the present century, was a county of isolated communities, wrote Ralph Whitlock in The Folklore of Devon, 1977. Partly this was due to its geology and topography, partly to its history. The county, the third largest in England, has at its nucleus the huge austere and almost uninhabited massif of Dartmoor, around which the more fertile countryside is arranged as a frame. On the north, it is fenced by another bleak plateau of almost equal altitude, although Exmoor itself is 2/3 in Somerset. Another maze of steep-sided hills serves as a barrier between Devon and South Somerset and West Dorset. Nor are the intervening vales flat plains, but rather a tangle of lesser hills, many of them buried in woods. It is a secretive, half-tamed countryside. The folklore of this county, Whitlock explains, is a rich mixture of Celtic, Saxon, Danish, and goodness knows what other elements, including quite possibly some that are pre-Celtic. The Devon Moors are still the alleged haunts of pixies. We are not surprised to hear much about giants, boogeymen, and witches. And the devil has here a richer heritage than in most English counties. Customs such as the wassailing of apple trees has lingered long on Devonshire farms, and tales of smugglers, fairs, and tin miners abound. Pixies, reports Whitlock, are timid and shy, live in remote places, often in caves or holes in rocks, venturing out only at night. They are in general well disposed towards the human race and have been known to lend a friendly hand with farm and domestic work. Nevertheless, the creatures are not to be trifled with, for they understand magic and can make life unpleasant for anyone who offends them. Many remote and secluded places, especially on the moors, have particular associations with pixies. A colony is said to live on Pixie Rocks, in a combe near Challacombe, on Gidley Commons, high on Dartmoor. A large hut circle, 90 feet across, is supposedly haunted by pixies. No horse will cross it. The villagers of Chagford claim to have heard pixies on the moors on quiet nights. The Queen of the Fairies is said to have created Southdown Bridge near Tavistock by crystallising the drops of water in a rainbow over the stream, first becoming tiny pebbles, then great stones. At Chudley Rock, a cave waterfall and creeper-hung glen are alleged to be the favourite haunts of pixies. King Castle, an ancient earthwork near Simonsbath, is reputed to have been built by pixies as a defence against hostile spirits from neighbouring mines. Pixies are said to dance in a number of the stone circles on Dartmoor, including the one on Huckabee Moor. A story is told of Tom White, a young man of Postbridge, who went courting a girl at Huckabee, which involved frequent five-mile walks each way over the wild moors. I can't even get a text back, and he's doing five-mile walks to see his girl. Anyway, one summer night, he saw a crowd of pixies dancing near Bellever Tor. He watched them for a while and then tried to steal away, but the pixies saw him. They formed a ring and danced around him till dawn, making him twirl like a top all the time. When eventually he was released at sunrise, exhausted and frightened, he declared he would never risk such an experience again. The pixies in general, though sometimes mischievous, are simple, kindly folk, Whitlock continues, ready to do a good turn for small rewards. And some of the pixie legends are quite lovely. We have, for example, the story of the old woman and the tulip garden. She lived in a cottage near Tavistock and took great pride in her garden, especially her tulips. Before her cottage had been built, the site was a haunt of pixies, and they continued to come and enjoy the flowers in the garden. At night, they could be heard singing to their babies and caressing them. Thanks to the pixies, the tulips not only grew unusually tall and fine, but as delicately fragrant as roses. When she died, her heir destroyed the flowers and grew vegetables instead. The tulip bed was planted with parsley. The pixies were so upset that for years afterwards, they saw to it that the garden grew nothing worthwhile. Instead, they transferred their attentions to the old woman's grave, which her relations had neglected, planting with lovely little flowers and neat grass lawns. That is all I have for you today, witches. I will link that article along with any others that I used for today's podcast episode, along with the book that I mentioned by Anna Eliza Bray. That's actually a PDF that you can download to read if you are interested in that. You can find grimoire pages on my Patreon, the Witches Institute, all about the pixies with illustrations. If you wish to access that too, there is a link in the show notes. Thank you so much for joining me. Have a wonderful week, witches. Catch up with you all soon, and I'm sending you lots and lots of witchy love.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.